to you. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. Tom McCubbin here from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios with your Better Lawns and Gardens program. I'm the host emeritus. Teresa's not here today, so you have me, and you also have Dr. Gary Bachman with us, professor emeritus from Mississippi State University. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We've already had happy conversation. I mean, this has been great waiting for you all to come and join us. And we need to welcome in Lizzie this morning. Lizzie, good morning.
This studio is running amok. Y'all have no clue. Good thing nobody else is in the building but us. But, oh, my gosh, these guys are out of control.
I don't know how that is. She was talking turkeys earlier, showing the picture of her turkeys.
I know, and it was very impressive, too.
Thank you. Yeah, 80-pound turkeys. That's dressed, so I don't know how much they weighed before.
Turkeys. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big turkey. She feeds them well.
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Yeah. But the garden, you say, is gone.
It's gone. It's still there, but it's not pretty. So, yeah, it's disgusting.
Will you replant it again?
Yes. Yep.
Coming up here? Good.
Yeah. Just waiting for you, between you and Teresa, to give me the green light of when we should start planting. Yeah,
2 weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah. I always look at August 15th as the start of the fall season for us.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, right here. That's what I do, too.
Okay.
Right around there. Then that's cucumbers, squash, beans, tomatoes, peppers.
All of that except the cucumbers. don't like the cucumbers.
You know, I don't eat cucumbers either. My dad used to tell me even pigs wouldn't eat cucumbers. Yeah. But my son and my daughters, they all like cucumbers.
Oh, that's crazy. I love cucumbers, but the last 3 years I've had the stink bugs have taken over after we get a nice little pretty small crop. Mm-hmm. And this year I did it for 2 weeks. I mean, night, day, going out there killing stink bugs, chopping them in half with scissors, doing everything. Yeah. And after 2 weeks I said, I'm not doing this. So I ripped it out and put it on the burn pile. I was like, I'm done.
You need to get the natural control spinosad and spinosad and do it early, and it'll probably work out pretty well for you. I guess we need to tell her where Teresa is.
Absolutely.
Teresa's in Scotland.
Oh,
we're on her way anyway.
That's what they're saying. She's actually in the closet. We didn't tie her
down
up.
There, you're down there, and she'll pop out to make sure Gary and I are doing the right things, I guess. Anyway,
I think she can trust us, Tom.
Yeah, I think so. I've been to Scotland. You said you have not.
I have not.
Yeah, it's a great country. Both Scotland and Ireland kind of tied together. We did a tour between Scotland and Ireland, just took the bus on over. And I've been to Ireland 3 times. They're all great countries there. Nice people, great countryside. I just enjoy it. And when I was in Ireland the first time, it was interesting to look at the young ladies. In the country, the young ladies had rosy cheeks and everything, and you could tell that they'd been outside taking care of the animals and everything. And the ladies in the city were dressed like the ladies in our cities, and they weren't outside doing those type of things.
Right.
So it's a neat country to visit. Weather's been hot, hot, hot. How about you?
It has been hot, hot, hot at home too. You know, I'm
Mississippi.
I'm on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, right outside of Biloxi. Basically, it's the same weather there as it is here right now.
Yeah, hot.
Hot.
Yeah. Now I did get a little rain this week. I don't know, Lizzie, did you get any rain this week?
We have had downpours almost every afternoon or evening with lots of lightning.
You must be paying the preacher better than me.
I am.
All I can say, because Tuesday we had 2.6 inches, and we have had drizzles since then.
Oh, wow.
That's it. And before the Tuesday rain, we had about a week and a half without rain. Here's how I know, because I am taking care of my neighbor's yard.
Okay.
And they have plants just like I do in containers. And during that hot weather, without the rain, I've had to water twice a day the container plants.
Right, yeah. If you're gardening in kind of in our climate with containers, yeah, you do have to water. I'm on irrigation. Drip irrigation comes on a timer, so I can go ahead and take care of it.
You can go on vacation.
I can.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Let's tell everybody about you a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, we're happy to have you because this is your 50th wedding anniversary, you and Katie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anne is in the studio. Your daughter Anne is in the studio with us today.
Yep.
But Katie and you were married 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's really hard to believe that she kept me around this long. I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
I thought that was for Joni and me also. We made just about 48 years. But, yeah, I agree to say that. Let me just tell everybody a little bit about you so you know I just didn't get you walking off the street. studies at Clemson and Ohio State University. Sounded like good places to go.
They were good. They were good places.
Yeah. I went to the University of Maryland. We beat you a few times.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, snap.
You had to throw that in, didn't you?
Yeah. You were Tennessee Tech University and Illinois State University before arriving at Mississippi State University with extension and a research appointment. I was an extension, too. I was an extension for 37 years.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. Now, you're retired now.
I am retired almost 3 years now.
Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is. And I don't know. I just don't have enough time to do anything anymore. Working, I could get everything done on a four-hour block on a Saturday for the week. Now it just takes me forever.
I have the same problem. I don't know what I did. I mean, because I used to turn out all these newspaper columns, do TV like you did.
Yeah.
And you did probably some research along the line, because part of your job is research. And you operate Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm.
Right.
Nano meaning small.
Meaning small. My backyard. And it's funny, my research appointment, I did ornamental plant promotion, but my research was small farm, urban gardening.
Yeah.
And my urban nano farm was my laboratory of a typical homeowner type of situation. How are you going to grow your vegetables in your small garden? You don't need 10 acres.
Yeah. I don't think anybody in Florida has done that same type of research. We'll talk about
absolutely.
That. We'll talk about your earth boxes coming up here. You also have Heritage Cottage Seeds, which is kind of nice. Well, we're going to be taking a break right now, but we're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And good morning to you. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Tom McCubbin here from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I have Gary Bachman with me. Happy to have him. Professor Emeritus from Mississippi State University.
That's right.
I'll get it. I can spell it better than I can say
it. That's right.
I want to mention here that Peterson Nursery has a program today at 9:30 and 10:30 on hurricane and landscaping.
Yes.
And they're in Lakeland.
Yep, it's from 9:30 to 10:30.
Is that what it is?
And,
I see it. Yeah,
10:30. And the thing, whenever you go there, it's a BYOC, which means bring your own chair.
I love it.
At Peterson's Nursery.
I read that there and it said 9:30 and a.m., and I thought very quickly I was thinking.
I did too.
And
I did too.
But I bet you Howie and Karen would repeat it for us if they had to.
They need to. They're superheroes.
So that's at Peterson Nursery, and that's in Lakeland. I'm sure if you live in that area, you know exactly where it is.
Yes, you do.
Everything. Gary, I want to talk about Earthbox.
Sure.
Because they were developed here in Florida.
Yes, they were.
By a Blake Wisenet. And he did get some help from some engineers at the University of Florida. So it's a Florida product.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it was developed to help his tomato farm overcome periodic flooding. Look, not just catastrophic flooding, but just enough water to ruin the tomato plants. And the Earthbox concept was thought up and developed, and they basically raised his tomato field 6 inches.
Wow.
And that saved them from the periodic, flooding that they would have. It's really, really a cool story.
Yeah, now you have... Hard to believe, but you have 142 of these in your nano farm.
I do. I'm a university-trained horticulturist. I can grow in anything.
Yeah.
I love the Earthbox system. It's elegant. It's a sub-irrigated system that keeps the root zone consistently moist. You put a plastic, shower cap on top that stops evaporation. In control, so the only water that the system loses is what the plant transpires. It is just so cool that it's so simple.
Yeah, this whole total concept was developed in our lifetime in 1980 and perfected in 1994, mm-hmm. and Blake died in 2018 at 88.
Right, right.
Ripe old age.
Yeah, he was a very interesting man. He gave me some insights on growing in earth boxes that he just didn't share with everybody. Yeah. So I may share today. Maybe I share more next time when I come. But
there you go. Yeah. So the earth box has its own reservoir, mm-hmm. and then you put soil in that, and then you have a cover on top
right.
of it, and then you plant your plants. Now, you mentioned that you have drip irrigation, so if it has a reservoir at the bottom with water, how often do you have to run the drip irrigation?
That's an interesting point. That the reservoir on the bottom keeps the mix consistently moist, and there's an overflow, so you can't overfill the system. But on a hot summer day that we'll have, like you'll have here,
yeah.
if you have two tomato plants in an earth box, they'll drain that 2 gallons of water on a hot day. And so you have to make up that water. So the drip irrigation basically just is refilling that reservoir.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize how much moisture plants really use.
Absolutely.
And a big tomato plant is going to use a lot. And in any container, you're probably going to have to water a couple of times a day.
Right.
If not, you're going to end up with blossom end rot and all different kinds of things.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I'll tell you, it's funny. Let me tell you a little story about tomatoes and earth boxes. You only want to put 2 tomato plants max in an earth box. That according to their directions. Well, my first earth box that I got, I read that, you know, I can only put 2 tomato plants in this. And I'm like, I've got a PhD from The Ohio State. I'll put as many tomato plants as I want in there. Well, I put 8.
Did you really?
Yeah, it did not work out very well. I grow 2 this past year. I only put 1 in each box. Just trying to get healthier and maximize growth on plants. And it worked out just fine, but no more than 2.
Yeah, it's just like Square Foot Gardening, who was developed by Mel Bartholomew. In Florida, I had a friend of mine who tested it, mm-hmm. and he found that 1 square foot was not enough room for a tomato plant.
No, it's not. It's not in our environment.
Yeah, that's right.
I think maybe up north. Maybe up north, because Mel was Maryland? Where did he develop that?
It came from, but he was been a guest of mine for many years.
Okay.
Of course, he passed away a number of years ago.
Yeah.
But he developed that concept. He was an engineer, is what he was.
Yeah.
And then converted over to horticulturist. We get a lot of these people to transform over.
You know? We get them over to the good to the light side.
Yeah. Now, besides tomatoes, what do you grow in earth boxes?
Well, right now, peppers like crazy. All your warm season crops we can do, and then cool season, once we get into August, I'll start sowing, you know, some of the leafy greens. And it's kind of anti, I can't wrap my head around it sometimes, but when it's, 110 heat index outside here, I'm out there planting collards and kale and things. But if you don't do it in August,
that's right,
and you wait, you're not going to get anything to harvest until January.
Yeah, we need to tell everybody our next planting time here and also at your homestead in Mississippi mm-hmm. is August the 15th.
Yep, that's
coming up.
That's my go date.
Yeah, mine too.
Yep.
And that's when I'll start putting in everything from tomatoes to peppers.
Now, is those seeds or are those already starters?
The tomatoes and peppers will be starters.
Yep.
My transplants are already growing.
Yep.
And I have to tell you, I haven't been overly lucky with some of them. I have peppers that I started from seed. Came out one day. I mean, this is in a protected area now.
Yeah.
I came out one day, they're mowed down to the ground.
What? And,
yeah, so I went, I knew what did it. I mean, it's just a cutworm type.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I went down, I found the sucker.
I'm glad you specified it was a worm. I thought you were talking about a neighbor or the county.
When I said mowed,
That's right, yeah. That's right.
But this was in a screened area. And nothing else there. How did that moth get in there to lay the eggs that I got the caterpillar?
Yeah,
you got the PhD.
It's a mystery. I'm not an entomologist, but I see some of the things that bugs do in my garden. I'm like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it came in. I often have that happen. So I guess I opened the door, let a moth in, and there or something. But it's completely screened in. So anyway, that one was put underfoot. So I lost one set of my peppers,
but
I've got some others. But so anyway, we'll see how they do. Now, how do you replant an earth box? Do you remove the soil?
Here's an interesting point about using the soil in the earth boxes. We're using professional growing mix, the Pro Mix, Metro Mix. I like Jolly Gardener.
Okay, yeah.
No compost. No. Say natural soil in that system, because it's really a big container, and if you start putting compost and things in it, it'll turn into a little bog. And because it's the professional mix, the peat mix, you don't have to change it every year. Every time you replant, you pull out the old plants, you fluff up that mix, add a little more into it, because it is organic matter and it does break down. And then you just go ahead and replant it. Some of my earth boxes are 16 years old now.
Really?
I have never dumped out an earth box.
Really?
To change the soil.
Just add to it.
Just add to it. And you think about it, it takes almost 2.5 cubic feet. Right now, the peat is about, the mix is about $10 a square foot.
Oh, yeah.
I have 142. I couldn't afford to replace that mix every single year when you're looking at $25 a box.
Yep.
So there's upfront cost to the earth boxes, but it's just an upfront cost. It's kind of a one-time cost.
How much does an earth box hold?
About 2.5 cubic feet.
Okay, so you've got 20-some dollars of soil.
Yep.
So you've got a real investment there.
I haven't. Maybe some of that's my retirement investment. Maybe get like an IRA. Maybe it's better than gold. I don't know.
Have you noticed that potting mixes have changed in recent years? It looked like to me that they've changed the formulas. They aren't the same.
They aren't the same, but you have to look at the different component availability. Like the Miracle-Gro, and sorry, I use Miracle-Gro as an example.
Yeah, sure.
But that definitely has changed through the years. To me, it's kind of getting more chunky. If you stick with the professional growing mixes, those are engineered for the right, you know, physical properties, drainage, the right chemical properties to grow plants well. And potting mix, I always tell folks, you get what you pay for. Yeah, you can find the mix that are $8 for a two cubic foot bag, or you go the professional growing mix and pay $25 for that two cubic foot bag. Way better results.
Yeah, the cheaper mixes are often what I call heavy, and the plants kind of drowned in it.
Right. They use materials that hold too much water. They use a lot of reed peat, not repeat.
Reed peat. People who don't know what that is.
Right, but you want the sphagnum peat.
Yeah.
The core fiber is okay. I think that's a fine component.
Yeah, that's come around. People may not know what core fiber is. Coconut fiber.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
using more barks.
Using more barks. There's a lot of research going in to in substrate components. Yes, and there's more barks that are being ground and getting a better particle size. That'll hold up really well in a container mix.
Yeah, and they're doing that with the mixes because the ingredients is getting more expensive and harder to get.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I'll tell you, it's not that it's harder to get. We're looking at transportation costs.
Yeah, peat moss, for instance.
Yeah, a lot of these materials are heavy. They don't transport them long distances, and so these companies have the processing plants around the country where they're pulling in raw materials from that limited area to hold down those transportation costs.
Yeah.
It's one of the big drivers in that.
Yeah. We used to use a lot of peat from Florida, but I don't think there's that much peat being used from the Florida sources because it's
right.
Too heavy, it stays too wet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever grown caladiums?
I have. I started, I was telling you before we came on air, I got some caladiums from the Florida Master Gardeners, and I underplant my citrus trees with them.
Yeah.
But you were saying that you found a really...
Well, I got one, Red Glamour. I went to the Caladium Festival
right.
A couple of weeks ago. Did you get to go to that, Lizzie?
No, we'd just gotten back from Maine, so I didn't have time to run down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was really nice, and they had all these caladiums. They planted in the park. In previous years that I've been there, they planted communities, but this time it was a park.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see all these caladium bulbs. This one here came from Classic Caladiums. And they have one coming up called Midnight Oil.
Oh, my.
Which is going to be Proven Winners is going to market that one there, which is kind of nice.
Midnight Oil. I need to write that one
down.
Midnight
Oil. Yeah, it's dark, really dark,
yeah,
almost
nice.
A brown type
nice.
Of color to it. Okay, well, we'll be back. Don't go away. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning again. We're happy you're here with us today. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Thanks for joining us. Dr. Gary Bachman is with me today, but I want to start off by talking about chinch bugs. And Gary, you said you don't have that much of a chinch bug problem in your area.
I say that I never got those questions because I wasn't a turf specialist. Yeah. But I don't see them in my yard.
Yeah, and you have a lot of centipede,
right.
which you probably wouldn't see them in centipede.
Okay.
Here's the problem here. The problem is we've got chinch bugs resistant to all pesticides now, or seemingly all pesticides. Talked to one of my good pest control company friends, graduate University of Florida entomologist, nematologist, and he says he has nothing to control them. And so I got this release from Dr. Dale, Adam Dale, who is a turf and ornamental entomologist, and he's echoing the same thing.
Gotcha.
The chinch bugs have mutated. We know that they mutate and change. We'll get a chinch bug resistant St. Augustine, mm-hmm. and before you know it, it's the chinch bugs are liking it.
They adapt to it.
To it. And so evidently the pesticides the same way, that the pesticides aren't working. So if you have a patch in your yard where the chinch bugs are still feeding and a pest control company says they can't control them, they're probably telling you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what you do. Come back in and put in bahia grass or maybe centipede like you have.
It could be. See, I'm fascinated by changing, St. Augustine to bahia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to do that at home, but for me, I like to garden easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have centipede, which is an easy one to grow,
yeah.
and then you have dollarweed,
which is
easy one to eat.
That's right.
Here's the thing, Gary. You start eating the dollar weed and it starts to disappear. You realize that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I do like salad. Maybe I'll have to try that.
Anything I start to grow dies. Anyway. But anyway, here's the thoughts. This is from Dr. Adam Dale. And he was thinking that you might try something different. I know most pest control companies have thought of this, but if you're a homeowner with the pest-resistant chinch bugs and you've tried the common products there, you might try something like a Celeprin. You say, well, where's a Celeprin? Scott's Grubex has a Celeprin in it. So you might get that and follow the label. And then the other suggestion he had was maybe neem. I think everybody knows neem. Now, I don't know whether it has a label that you can use for that. It's a natural product,
right.
So probably you could get away.
It would probably be okay. I've never really considered using neem out in the turf area like that.
Yeah, I haven't either. But that's one his suggestion. He says even try branching into the biologicals like neem, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so it's a possibility. So resistant chinch bugs, if you've got them, I'm sorry. There's one yard in my neighborhood that just has faded away, and I know it's chinch bugs. Now, what they've done, I don't know. I'm down there huddling around my yard saying, don't come here, stay away. What can I tell you? The one other thing about the caladiums, when you got a whole big collection of them.
Right.
Now, were they all the same variety or different ones?
No, they were a couple of different mixes. And one box was kind of a big leaf caladium mix, different colors, and one was a smaller leaf. And they have just worked out so well in my South Mississippi garden. I've been so happy with those. And I underplant all my citrus trees in containers with the caladium. So it's like, we have fruit and we have ornamentals.
And they keep coming back. That's the neat thing about caladiums. They just keep coming back. As long as you keep them moist, that's the main thing. And I find when they're planted in about March in here, they start going out around the end of August. If, like the bulbs I got at the Caladium Festival, I planted them. They're starting to come up. Mm-hmm. They will last through November.
Right.
Somewhere around
right.
there. Now, if a person, I'm going to change the subject
sure,
a little bit.
Sure.
If a person's not using the earth box but growing things in containers, I've seen some of your videos.
Sure.
You have a little hanging basket and you put the soil in. Jolly Gardener, I think you were using
right.
there.
Right. I used Jolly Gardener, yeah.
And then you put tomato plants in.
Yeah.
So that works out well for you, too.
Absolutely. I love hanging baskets, and this past year I started off with petunias, and usually by 1st of August our petunias are they're done.
They're done,
it's just
gone.
Hot and humid. And so I replant. I think you must have saw the video I shot replanting with the dwarf micro tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was so we're not talking big 4 foot plants. We're talking about 1 foot by 1 foot tomato plants that make full size cherry tomatoes, and that's going to be my fall tomato crop this year. I'm just this kind of this wild idea to go ahead and try it. Yeah.
So are you going to put them in earth boxes also, tomatoes, or just a hanging basket?
The tomatoes are just in hanging baskets.
Okay.
And I've started to do a kind of a fall planting of some additional peppers that I'm going to try. And I'm going to grow zinnias, of course, and that kind of.
You like zinnias like I like zinnias. My mother grew zinnias, and it was really neat. Lizzie likes zinnias also, and you brought us some seed. And I'm going we've got some there. Lizzie and I are going to split it up.
Absolutely.
But I like the California Giants.
Those are great. I have a mix I call Gary's Favorite. It's just a conglomeration of just these great cutting types of zinnias.
Cut them and bring them in.
Yep.
You might as well enjoy them. And when I was a kid, my mother grew them, and the churches came around, and they would ask for flowers. My dad had glass. My mother had zinnias. They gave them away, which was kind of neat. Now, when you're growing things in containers, under an earth box, how do you decide how large the container needs to be?
Here's the thing. If it's a tomato in a container, you want a container that'll hold 1 cubic foot of potting mix. And a bigger container is always better because it'll hold more water. You won't have to water as much, and the tomato will grow bigger. They'll kind of go like a goldfish. Goldfish in a little bowl only gets so big. You put it in a bigger, it gets bigger. Same thing with tomatoes. They and other plants, they will adapt to their resources, and so a bigger container will grow a bigger plant.
Yeah.
And I always say, you go the biggest container you can grow.
And you have a water reserve there of sorts also.
You can put a tray underneath a big container. That helps.
Yeah.
But it's, bigger is better.
So if you have them in containers, what do you do about fertilizer?
Generally, because a professional growing mix does not have a lot of fertilizer in it, and I don't like to put organic fertilizer in a container. Oop, there's the music.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I use slow release.
I love Osmocote,
you and me.
And
I
also
grew up with Osmocote.
Water a little bit with the blue stuff. So yeah. That helps too.
Yeah, to keep everything growing. Good.
Right.
Well, we'll be back. And when we come back, we've got Tom's top 5 vegetables to plant soon. They're probably going to be Gary's also. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And good morning to you. We're having so much fun here at Better Lawns and Gardens, coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I forgot to give the number out and everything.
And we've been having too much fun,
Tom. I know.
Tom. Yes.
1-888-45-LAWNS or 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. And I did mention we have the text from Howie at Peterson Nursery, and they have their program on hurricanes and landscaping. And that's at 9:30 to 10:30.
Yes.
Bring your own chair.
Yep. And we have Jerry, hold on. We'll get you here in just a second.
Well, let's go to Jerry right now.
Are you sure? Okay, all right, Jerry.
Let's do it. Jerry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tom. How are you, sir?
Fine. Jerry's in Longwood, Florida. I'm a ball. Not too far from Mount Dora where you're staying.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So how can we help you today, Jerry?
My question is this. I've lived in Florida all my life. I've had different varieties of grasses from Bahia to St. Augustine, and I've really fallen in love with centipede. Now, I'm putting in a brand new or building a house, and I have a clean palette. I would like to go ahead and put centipede all the way around if that's a good grass for and when that could go in. And what is the difference between the growing of the centipede and, say, zoysia? Which is easier, which is better, lower maintenance, things along those lines?
Okay, well, you have my permission to go ahead and put in centipede. You have your permission?
Jerry, I grow centipede at my house in Mississippi. It's a pretty low-maintenance grass.
It's a poor man's turf.
It really is. But I'll tell you one caveat about centipede. It needs to be cut at the proper height. All of our grasses need to be cut at the proper height. But centipede likes that inch and a half, 2 inches. That's perfect. If you've got any other kind of grass, if you got like St. Augustine near it that likes to be cut higher, you can't say, well, I'm just going to split the difference between the two. Neither grass will be happy. So you just have to remember that's the main thing, and it's easy. It's an easy grass.
Yeah. The only thing in your conversation that I worry about is seeding it.
Seeding it is
not easy. It's not for everybody.
Seeding centipede has about a 14 to 21 day germination period, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That's an awful long time to, you know, keep it moist.
Wait and keep the weeds out.
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, Jerry, I think a lot of people just can't succeed at seeding lawns, and that includes bahia grass and centipede. It's just a problem. If you can, see if you can go through and sod it. Centipede sod is available. When you compare it to zoysia, centipede, like I said, is a poor man's turf. You fertilize it maybe once a year. You fertilize it. Mm-hmm. If it really starts to grow in the spring, you don't fertilize it early, or you'll cause it to decline. And after that, it just kind of grows itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And the zoysia, more fertilization, more frequent lawn mowing.
We just have trouble with zoysia. I mean, a lot of people put it in. It went in and they said, well, it's going to be the carefree lawn here in Florida. And it ended up being more of a problem. It has several insect pests. It has diseases. So
Jerry, I think they were just saying, just lay down some concrete. You'll be okay.
Or at least paint the concrete green. That would be the no maintenance turf.
Jerry, of all the lawn types, even though I mentioned this chinch bug problem here with St. Augustine for Florida is probably still the most reliable. Mm-hmm. But centipede and bahia would be another choice. And I like bahia also.
Yeah, I've been fascinated by replacing St. Augustine with bahia. I like that idea.
Yeah, fewer problems as long as you keep bahia cared for, it's going to do fine. I don't know, Jerry, have we totally confused you now?
No, not at all. The problem I run into here in Central Florida is that nobody carries centipede sod.
It's going to be a little harder for you to get, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Right.
But seeding it's not going to be a good answer either. I'll just be honest with you.
Of the people that I've talked to, they're all pushing either, and I shouldn't say pushing it, but, they're going to provide bahia, and I've had bahia, but I always swap out bahia for St. Augustine over a 5-year program. And of course, my wife would like me to do it over a week's program.
Of course.
And then, but the zoysia, I was talking to a couple sod suppliers, and they were saying, oh yeah, it's taken a lot more maintenance, a lot more energy than it used to in years past.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I have about, and I love St. Augustine, I always worry about the, making sure, because our drought situation in Florida is hit or miss these days. And in the Longwood area, we had a bad drought span for about a year and a half.
Yeah, I don't live that far from you, and you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the end, we're going to have to move along, but in the end, I like zoysia. I've had a zoysia lawn. It's okay. You just got to really maintain it. With the centipede, to be less maintenance, but trying to find the sod.
Right.
You can find it, but it's going to be a little more of a problem. Yeah. Okay, Jerry, got to run.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, you have a great gardening day. Appreciate it there. Let's go to Tom's top five here. Number one on Tom's top five is tomatoes. That's number one.
That's number one for me, too. So we're even now.
Yeah. Peppers number two.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got it.
And I grow mainly bell peppers and the sweet peppers. And I know you put some pepper seed in there for me. Are they sweet or are they hot?
I don't grow any of the bell peppers. I like to grow more with heat. I like to grow old genetics.
Okay.
I like to some of these old heirloom type.
Okay, well, I'll get ready for the hot stuff then.
Okay, there's the hot stuff.
My neighbor loves it. Okay, number three is cucumbers. I know you said you, but you've told me you made a lot of pickles.
Yeah, I don't like to grow cucumbers. I like to grow pickles. That's how I've.
And they do make what they call pickling cucumbers.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah. So, but I don't like cucumbers. I mean, my dad said pigs don't eat cucumbers, but my son does. My daughters do. So I grow them for them.
Yeah, there you go.
And my mother used to like them also. I think the problem with cucumbers and me is that they cause me indigestion. So when you have problems like that, I asked a doctor one time, I said, I have trouble eating nuts. And he said, I tell you what, I just wouldn't eat nuts.
That's right. Smart aleck doctor.
Yeah. Well, simple answer. Number four is squash. And I love to grow squash, especially the summer type squash.
Sure. No, I like to eat squash. I just don't. I have troubles with the stem borer.
Yeah.
And my garden is the nano farm. They take up a lot of room.
They spread out.
It has to be space efficient.
We have the fruit worm problems that they get in there. Not as much the stem borers, but the fruit worms get into them. And then number five here is the snap beans. I love the snap beans.
Love to grow snap beans, too.
Yeah. Is there anything else that I'm missing? That's Tom's top five, by the way.
It's summertime? Oh, I don't know. There's one I like to grow. I like to grow okra.
See, I don't care. I like okra, but nobody else in the family does.
Okay.
But I like it fried okra.
Yep. We like it on the grill, and we found a dwarf called Baby Bubba that only gets 2 foot tall.
Wow.
And so you're not reaching up into the okra, the 7 foot tall okra plants to harvest pods. You're reaching down into it as you look into it. It's game changer from a okra point of view.
Yeah. Now, the problem we have with okra that you do not have in the earth box is nematodes.
Right.
And so I don't know whether in Mississippi you had a nematode problem in the existing soils or not.
We do, and growing in the earth boxes solves that. You basically don't get any root zone type pathogens or issues growing in that system.
Yep. I guess thought I'd go over some of the things that I'm doing. We're talking lawns there, for instance, and I'm getting ready to put iron on my lawn. In Florida, we have months when we cannot fertilize.
Right.
That's with nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Right. Potassium we can put down. So the lawns tend to be on the yellow side.
Right, they tend to yellow out a little bit, yeah.
I'm putting down iron.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice to do that.
Yeah. University of Florida did a study, and manganese was the other thing that some people use, and I forget what the other nutrient is, but they said of all their tests, iron was the one that the lawn responded to.
Interesting.
Which was kind of nice. Now, the other thing I've got to do a lot of is repotting. And this is foliage plants. Do you grow foliage plants and things like that?
I do some foliage plants.
They're not edible.
No, they're not edible. But I grow those out on my back porch, which is really kind of my garden workroom.
Yeah.
And I have them up on shelves, mainly pothos and philodendrons, just so until they hang down. And so I get this kind of this green curtain around my my work area.
Well, that's kind of neat.
It's kind of relaxing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of mine have gotten too big, and I'm just going through and repotting them, spathophyllum especially.
Oh, yeah.
I can take those with a knife and split them up and have more than I need there. Weeding is the other thing I need to do a lot of right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody in Florida probably has the same problem.
Oh, it's crazy. I just looked at all my stuff, and I'm just like, I'm going to either set you on fire or you can just keep growing one or the other.
That's right. One thing I've noticed since I've retired, when I used to do my weed control, was like every Saturday. I walk around the yard now, and I see small weeds. I pop them out. If you pull the weeds out before they set seed, you're setting yourself up for the future. I have one bed where I had the gripe weed, chamber bitter. Is that
chamber bitter,
which is like the little mimosa.
Oh,
weed.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, we've got tons.
I have a bed. I've kept pulling those little ones out. I had zero in that bed this year. Because I was doing that.
Getting ahead of them. Yeah, I can't get ahead of them. Also, it keeps the pests down also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Want to thank our sponsors, Black Cow Summit Responsible Solutions, Quality Green Specialist with Dana Venrick, and DeLand and Peterson Nursery with Howie and Karen in Lakeland. Don't forget their talk today on hurricanes and landscaping. And please let them know when you go by that you appreciate the program too. And, of course, we'll be back in just a little bit here with more, and we're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Tom McCubbin. Dr. Gary Bachman will be with us during the second hour also. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.